Once again, happy Mother's Day to all of our moms who are here today. And we thank the Lord for you, for your care and for your concern, your love and protection, the blessings that you are to all of us. And just the thought is, where would we be without you? None of us would be here. Came across a poem by a man named Howard Johnson. It was written in 1915. It's called Mother. And lo and behold, as I was doing some research for this morning, I found a song. The words that this Howard Johnson had penned now were put to music. So you ready for this? Mother.
M-O-T-H-E-R, sung by sheep music singer.
Pay attention to the words.
I've been around the world, you bet, but never went to school. Hard facts are all I seem to get, perhaps I've been a fool. But still some educated folks supposed to be
like you or your mother. I thought that was kind of cute. Just as we think about Mother's Day today, let's see if your knowledge of mothers in the Bible is up to speed here. I typed into my computer Bible program the little phrase mother of, and I got 27 responses to that. So let's see if you know the answer to some of the who these mothers are. Not all 27, obviously. Number one, the mother of all living. The mother of all living. Who is that? Eve. That is correct. It's Eve in Genesis 3, verse 20. Number two, a mother of nations. A mother of nations is Sarah. That's right, Abraham's wife Sarah, Genesis 17:16. Number three, a mother of thousands of millions. Yikes, that's a lot of people. A mother of thousands of millions, still in Genesis 24:60, that was said of? Nope. Rebecca. Rebecca was called the mother, a mother of thousands of millions. Number four, who is the mother of Solomon? Bathsheba, yep, 1 Kings 1:11. Here's a difficult one. The mother of Ahaziah. Ahaziah was a king in Israel. His mother's name was Athaliah. Do you remember her? She was a wicked queen that served in Israel. Number six, the mother of Zebedee's children. Well, you can scratch your head till the end of the day. No name is given for the mother of Zebedee's children, but we do know who the sons are. James and John, that's correct. Matthew 4:21. Number seven, who said, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth, yes, said to Mary after she was carrying the Lord Jesus. Luke 1:43. Number eight, who is the mother of Jesus? Mary, John 2:1. Number nine is, who is the mother of us all? The mother of us all. That's said in reference to Jerusalem, which is above. Heavenly Jerusalem is in Galatians 4:26. Paul references that as the mother of us all. Obviously, there's some literary devices going on there. And lastly, the mother of Samuel. Her name was Hannah. Hannah is, I forget what the particular term is, a patronym or something. It's spelled the same way frontwards and backwards, Hannah. So that's for 1 Samuel 1:20. So you did very well. We know that the term mother is an incredibly intimate and all-encompassing word. It exudes care, finality, completion, compassion, correction, fulfillment. All, it seems to me, all wrapped up in that word, mother. Perhaps you've used some of these mom-isms that I discovered in my research. Quotes you have heard from your mom and maybe used yourself. Here's a few of them. Why? Because I said so, that's why. How many of you use that one? I'm going to give you until the count of three. Yeah. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. Yeah. Here's another one. I don't know is not an answer. another one. I would never have talked to my mother like that. How about, I'm not running a taxi service. Maybe you've used this one. If everyone jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? Someday your face will freeze like that. And the best one of all, I suppose, is, it hurts me more than it hurts you. I use that when chastising my son one time, and he didn't believe me. He said that it did hurt a whole lot more than it would hurt me. How about this one? I love you. Use that one with kids? Yeah. Money doesn't grow on trees. Were you born in a barn? Shut the door. Go ask your dad. Yeah. I'm not talking just to hear my own voice. I hope someday when you have kids, they're just like you. Then you'll know. And lastly, Bob, Sue, Joe, Fido, whatever your name is. Some interesting momisms. The term mother is found about 244 times in the Bible. It is an important word. A mother is an important person in the eyes of God and should be in the eyes of every believer as well. And the Bible declares the essential necessity and honor of motherhood. The Bible declares the essential necessity and the honor of motherhood. The fifth commandment in the law says in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother, and there's a promise that's associated with that for the people of Israel. And so the law that God gave to Israel through Moses provided for the sanctity of motherhood. Notice a few other verses that we read from the scriptures. In Exodus 21, verse 15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. To hit your parent was a capital offense back in Israel's day when the law was given. Anyone who would smite his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And to note the importance of that, it's repeated in Exodus 21, verse 17. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Leviticus 20, verse 9 says, for everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. So even the cursing is as bad as if the son or the daughter had killed their parent. His blood shall be upon him. And in the New Testament, picking up on what the law has given, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6, verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Do you remember what the promise was? We read it in that first verse. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So even their presence in the land of Israel that God had given to them seems contingent upon how children would speak to their parents or honor their parents. It's the first commandment with a promise. And of course, we know that Israel did not do very well in any of that, observing the law, especially this. But while we like to point fingers at them, you have to remember you got three more pointing back at yourself. So we also need to remember that motherhood is to be honored. Just think of the honor that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy's mother and grandmother. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, we read, when I call to remembrance, he's writing to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. And then in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, Paul wrote, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Here in these two verses, we find that mom and grandma were instrumental in Timothy's salvation as they taught him the scriptures from a child and as they modeled the Christian life before him. when it says that they taught him the scriptures from a child, the Greek word is brephos, and it's a word that is related to the womb. It means an unborn or a newborn baby. And so from a child, they taught him the scriptures about sin, salvation, and so on, from a brephos, so a brand new baby. So we had often told brand new moms that they need to read the Bible to their kids, even while they're carrying them still in the womb, just to read it out loud so that the baby can hear. And then from the birth that you would read for them from the scriptures so that they might know it as they grow. And both Eunice and Lois modeled unfeigned faith before Timothy as he grew. And so we take note of how important motherhood is in the eyes of God and his purposes for his creation, for individuals within this world. Now we know that motherhood can be sometimes volatile. It can be a delight or a trial. Sometimes because of a whole bunch of reasons and circumstances and scenarios that come along, you might have a time when the interaction between mom and kids can be volatile at times and then very sweet at other times with the same kids. And I don't think it really changes slightly as the kids get older, especially when you have middle-aged children now with children of their own. But there are still those adjustments in relationships that come between mom and kids. And when you throw dad into the mix, oh, well, it could be all kinds of fireworks or sweetness as well. Generally, as we read through the scriptures, I believe we find that God has designed motherhood to be a glad experience for both mothers and children, and dad as well. He factors into this too. So there's a couple of passages of scripture that I would like to draw our attention to that will help us to understand how we can have a glad mother. A glad mother. So in your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Proverbs 23, not 31, 23. Find verse 22, which says this: "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." So from these few verses in this passage, there's four things we can see that we can acknowledge how to have a glad mother. And while this passage really, I think, zeroes in on children in the family, younger children, it really doesn't matter how old your children may be. It's still principles that can help to bring about a glad mother. So, four things in these few verses to make a glad mother. Number one, in verse 22, the phrase is "hearken unto." Now, I know it says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." But you know that we hearken unto father, but what dad usually says is what mom has told him to say. in some respects as it relates to children. But listen to these other verses, again in Proverbs, along the same line. Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, when you understand that Hebrew poetry is built on parallelism, not rhyme and meter, but parallel structure, then you know from Proverbs 1:8 that the instruction of thy father is parallel with the law of thy mother. Both are saying the same thing. You need to listen to it and not forsake what your father and your mother have to say. Proverbs 6, verse 20, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." Again, repeating what Proverbs 1:8 said. So what dad says goes the same for what mom says, and you just better hearken unto them according to the scriptures. My mom passed away in October of 2022, and you all loved her. She played the organ and so on. And so now that she's gone home to be with the Lord, I don't have to listen to her anymore, right? I don't have to hearken to her. Well, the truth is, even though she may be gone, there are things that she has taught and said that I need to carry on with, and for the blessing and gladness of life. So it doesn't matter if your mom is not here at all. There are things that we have learned from them that we need to hold to. And we are not to forsake the law of our mother. It's laid down for our blessing and our edification. When it says to hearken unto them, to mom and dad, hearken is the Hebrew word shama, which means to hear intelligently with the implication of careful attention, perceptive understanding, and unqualified obedience. That's what hearken means. Shama, to hear intelligently with the implication of careful attention, perceptive understanding, and unqualified obedience. Moms normally have the best interests of their kids at heart, even when they're 44 or 40. How old is Rob? 46. See, she knows I don't. Always have the best interest. And then, of course, when grandkids come along, they just fill up grandma's heart as well with joy and care and compassion. The best moms normally have the best interests of their kids at heart. Therefore, what they say and either ask or tell their kids to do, it is the best if they do it. Besides, it will make a mom glad when they do. Now, we know that in the world around us today, there are moms who don't maybe have the wisdom that would be necessary for the well-being of kids, and we understand that, and you kind of work with it and pray for those situations that are not really up to biblical speed. But generally, amongst believing moms, I think the whole idea is that they love their kids, want to teach them what's right, and that mom will be glad when kids do what she says. Secondly, in verse 22 is the word despise not. That is the Hebrew word buzz. The Hebrew word is, booze. I could put the Hebrew letters up there, but in English, B-O-O-Z, booze. Despise not means to hold, the word despise means to hold in contempt, to hold as something insignificant. And we are not to despise the law of our mother. Funk and Wagnalls Dictionary says it is to regard as contemptible or worthless. It is to scorn. And, of course, this would be the opposite of what honoring mother is supposed to be about. So despise not the law of your mother. Don't hold in contempt the things that she says. Don't hold them as insignificant. Don't be contemptible or see them as worthless or scorn your mom. This would be the opposite of honoring thy mother. And while we talk about these things, it may not directly apply to us with our moms having passed away, for most of us, but the principles are still valid that we can pass on to children, to grandchildren, and so on, and even for our own reflection on what God has done in our lives and yours as moms, I think is still very important to understand. Proverbs 15, verse 20 says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother." A foolish man despises his mother. And so the foolish man is the one who lives by his fleshly desires and doesn't even really realize that he is doing so. Maybe sometimes he does and says, forget it, I'm going to do it anyways, but lives by his own fleshly desires. This is the person who thinks that he knows it all, and his mother is just an old fuddy-duddy who is just not with it. Hope none of your kids have ever expressed that attitude. This is the person who will not be taught anything, especially related to godliness and holiness and spirit-filled living. Doesn't want to hear it, closes his ears to it all, just goes off and does whatever he wants to do, whatever the flesh leads him to do. So that's Proverbs 15, verse 20. And then Proverbs 1, verse 7 and 8 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Here's another proverb. Proverbs 30, verse 17. "The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and young eagles shall eat it." Try telling that to young kids. If you despise what your mother is saying, the eagles, the ravens are going to pick out your eyes and the young eagles shall eat it. I think that would put a stop to anything untoward that they would say. Maybe, maybe not. Do not despise mom. Live righteously and listen to her. You will make her glad. And you'll be glad too when you do. Number three from the passage in Proverbs here, verse 24 talks about a righteous child. A righteous child makes a glad mother. This Hebrew word righteous is tzadik. Tzadik. It's translated as just, lawful, and righteous in our Bibles. And the righteous person is the one who lives his life in accordance with the revealed word of the living God. He is sincerely upright and just in all of his actions. That is a righteous man, a righteous child. It is apparent that our society today is far from this kind of character. And even the scriptures say in Proverbs 19:26, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach." Right? "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach." That applies to any child, no matter how old they may be. How old they may be. Proverbs 20, verse 20 says, "Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Again, another capital offense to curse father and mother back in those days. Principle still applies, even though we don't necessarily today take action on that against such children. And then finally, in Proverbs 30, 11 to 14, "There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men." There is a generation. I dare say that that description characterizes the generations that we have living today. They are pure in their own eyes, right? They think that they're just fine, they're doing all right, yet they're not washed from their filthiness. Their eyes are lofty, their eyelids are lifted up. You know what that connotes? That tells us that their eyes are up here. They're not looking down at you or mom and dad or anybody else, the poor, the needy. They've got their eyes up here, looking up. That's either the prospect of what they hope for their own lives, to be elevated, or that they just simply despise anything below them. Is that kind of a generation that we have today? If you've been following the news at all, you've been following all of these Palestinian protests going on in college campuses across the United States, as well as in Canada, Montreal, Toronto, apparently out in BC, and even in Manitoba. Tent cities have been set up for protesters against Israel, supportive of Hamas, and they are creating quite a difficult situation for a lot of towns, a lot of cities. And there's one thing to note about those. The Rebel News, Ezra Levant, tried to interview some of these folks, in the Toronto one anyways, and he discovered that they were being told not to talk to the press by their handlers, quote-unquote handlers. So there are people handling in those tent cities the folks who come along to protest. He tried to talk to some of the protesters, and he found that many of them don't have a clue what they're there for. This has all been set up by certain individuals, professionals, handlers, who obviously are working at the beck and call of somebody else, and there's all kinds of suggestions as who that might be. But in every case, you can see that those protesters, their eyes are lifted up. They don't want to look at Jews. They don't want to look at anybody who supports Jews or Israel. They have their eyes lifted as if we are right, y'all are wrong, and they won't listen to anybody. One of the campuses, I forget which one now, the police had been called in to clear them all out. Which they did. I don't know what the ramifications of all of that will be. So it's a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And they consistently rip apart Israel from the sea to the sea, from the river to the sea, which is basically a term to annihilate Israel, get rid of them completely. Most of the world now, including the U.S., and has been for a while, have been talking about two-state solution as the only means for peace. They are foolish, because a two-state solution will not bring peace, especially when Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, and the Houthis down in Arabia there, south part of Arabia, their whole policy and their whole pursuit is to get rid of Israel, to annihilate them, to wipe them all out. So a two-state solution is not going to bring peace. It's just going to make more trouble. And so this generation is characterized as those who curse their father, do not bless their mother, a generation that is not righteous, but unrighteous. And we know that the only way for a man to live righteously is to be rightly related to the righteous one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous person is a believer in Christ, a saint, and then a doer of the word. A righteous child, therefore, makes a glad mother. And lastly, number four, verse 24 says, a wise child. Wisdom here means to be skillful in the art of living, prudent and shrewd, like a cunning hunter who knows how to get his prey. It is to know what to do that is right and how to do it properly and successfully. A wise child will be the delight of his mother. Proverbs 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So, how do you make a glad mother? By hearkening unto her, by not despising her, by living righteously, by being wise. Anything there that we might be able to improve in our lives, even today, whether our moms are here or not, that we can pass on to our kids and to our grandkids? There's always something that we can improve, it seems to me. So let us uphold motherhood. Let us continue to honor moms here in this place. Let us speak respectfully of mothers, and let us be sure we are praying for all mothers. Even when the children are grown and out of the house, they may be out of the house, but kids, no matter how old they are always in the heart of mom. And then let us help our grandchildren to honor their moms as well and to understand what the Bible has to say concerning honoring our moms. And we want to do all of that for the glory of God and for the well-being of our homes. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for just an opportunity this morning to dig through your scriptures to see what you have inspired to be written concerning mothers, the importance of it, and how to honor mothers and to make mothers glad. We pray that all the moms who are here today may be able to receive that honor and understand the gladness that you desire for each and every one. We pray for kids, no matter how old they are these days, to be honoring their moms to the honor and glory of your wonderful name. Thank you for just this time together this morning, and we do ask, Lord, you'll bless all of our moms who are here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.